It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Some view e-cigarettes as a means to help them stop smoking. This is one reason for their increase in popularity. However, they are not a safer alternative to traditional cigarettes. They've also been blamed for a number of poisonings nationwide. Joining us now in Studio A to address the impact e-cigarettes are having is Dr. Hillary Tindall. She is Assistant Professor of Medicine at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine and Director of the UPMC Presbyterian Montefiore Tobacco Treatment Services. Dr. Tindall, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And also with us is Dr. Michael Lynch. He is Assistant Professor of Medicine at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine and the Medical Director of the Pittsburgh Poison Center. Dr. Lynch, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much for having me.
And if you have a comment or question for our guests, join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. What concerns do you have about the safety of e-cigarettes? Have you tried them? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Dr. Tindall, let me start with you. First of all, explain to people what e-cigarettes are and how they are smoked.
Basically, e-cigarettes are a nicotine delivery device. They don't involve actual smoke, so there are no products of combustion. So they're very, very different from traditional cigarettes. And usually we say that people vape them instead of smoking them. So there's a whole other language that has come up with e-cigarettes. It involves a heating element, usually battery-powered, or it can be plugged in. And it heats a delivery system, which is glycerol or propylene glycol, and that delivers the nicotine to the actual person when they puff.
So is it kind of like one of the, you know, when you go to a hookah bar and that kind of smoking?
Hookah is actually involves combustion. So the tobacco is burnt and there's smoke that comes up. But in an e-cigarette, it's actual vapor. So it's heated but not burnt. And that's a really important distinction because the vapor itself is a lot safer than traditional cigarette smoke. Traditional cigarette smoke has a lot of carcinogens in it and also carbon monoxide and other poisons.
So how does the nicotine in e-cigarettes differ from that found in tobacco cigarettes?
The nicotine itself is actually pretty similar. So whether we're talking about e-cigarette vapor or traditional combustible cigarette smoke, both have nicotine. And I should say there are some e-cigarettes that do not have nicotine, but for the most part, most e-cigarettes do contain nicotine.
If they don't have nicotine, are they safe?
Not necessarily, because the truth is that we don't know the long-term effects of the vapor on the human lung.
And the ones that do have nicotine, are they as addictive?
We don't know. That's a really key question. I'm glad you brought that up. Excuse me, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners are asking themselves the same thing. We don't know the addictiveness of e-cigarettes. One of the key points in determining whether a product is addictive is how quickly it reaches the bloodstream. So when a person smokes a traditional cigarette, the nicotine gets into the bloodstream almost immediately and within seconds reaches the brain, where the person gets that kind of feel-good usual hit. In e-cigarettes, the process is much slower, so they're probably less addictive, but the truth is we don't have research on that and we don't know the answer to that question.
Dr. Lynch, what is the potential toxicity related to nicotine exposure?
Sure. So nicotine itself is a compound that can be very dangerous to humans in relatively small amounts for a lot of different reasons. One, it can be easily absorbed through the skin, which is something that I think is often overlooked. So even just handling this liquid or having it spilled onto your skin can lead to significant toxicity. And the other part of it is, as Dr. Tindall said, the nicotine itself in the e-cigarette fluid is not different necessarily than cigarette nicotine, but it is a highly concentrated form in a small volume. So you can have access to a larger amount of nicotine in a very short period of time that you absorb very quickly. and what nicotine is, what it does in the human body. It actually acts in a way similar to when we talk about nerve agents like VX gas and those types, sarin gas, those types of things. It has similar effects on your body at a high enough dose where you can see initially nausea and vomiting, symptoms like that, but then confusion, coma, seizure, high heart rate, low blood pressures, and eventually coma and death. So, you know, the range of potential toxicity, and even at relatively small overall doses, is very, very significant. And that's what I think worries us as toxicologists about the easy availability of this highly concentrated nicotine fluid.
And why are liquid nicotine cartridges and e-cigarettes a concern to toxicologists and poison centers?
So, again, for the reason, I have actually seen ads on the internet where you can buy up to 10-gallon drums of these things, or drums, I guess, is maybe exaggerating, but 10 gallons of relatively concentrated nicotine at 10% nicotine or so. And when you think of 10 gallons, about a teaspoon or certainly no more than a tablespoon of that could be enough to actually be deadly. So that's a small amount of ingestion. So when you think about having that just immediately available to anybody to buy through the internet, I saw a kiosk at the mall the other day selling these things, not at that size, but anybody can go up and buy them. And now they're available not only for adults and the potential danger there, but certainly with kids. And with more than 50% of the exposures that have been reported to poison centers have involved kids under 6 years old. So that's who is usually accidentally getting into this stuff because it's laying around. Now we know it smells good. It sort of tastes good. It may be colorful, and a kid may want to get into that. And a big mouthful of it could be enough to be very dangerous.
So what's the best way to prevent accidental poisoning with these products?
As always, the absolute easiest thing is not to have it in your house. However, if you are going to have it in your house, we recommend having smaller quantities, not buying these large amounts. And if you do have it in your house, keeping it locked, physically locked with a key in a cabinet that's well out of reach of children, almost like you would your liquor cabinet when you leave your teenagers home for the weekend. You want to keep this stuff is just so toxic that it needs to be locked up and kept away from kids at all costs. And when it is used, it needs to be used with very specific skin coverings, gloves, things like that, just because of the risk of toxicity with absorption.
And so in case of exposure?
So the first thing I'd recommend, if you are exposed either accidentally or intentionally, or certainly a child or family member is, if there's an immediate terrible effect, they're losing consciousness, things like that, you call 911. If there's any question at all about any exposure, though, the poison center is open 24 hours a day, and we have nurses trained in poison information. And the national phone number is 1-800-222-1222. No matter where you are in the country, if you call that number, you will get a specialist in poison information that can help you hopefully manage it at home without needing to go to a hospital, but help you get to the right level of care if that's necessary.
And again, that number is 1-800-222-1222, 800-222-1222. A different number, the one to call if you want to join this conversation, is 412-246-2002. If you would like to join the conversation with our guest, Dr. Hillary Tindall, she is Assistant Professor of Medicine at Pitt's School of Medicine and Director of the UPMC Presbyterian Montefiore Tobacco Treatment Services. And also with us, Dr. Michael Lynch, Assistant Professor of Medicine at the Pitt School of Medicine and Medical Director of the Pittsburgh Poison Center, 412-246-2002. Let's go to John in Pittsburgh with a question or comment. John, welcome to the program. How are you?
Very well. I used to smoke, and in those days there was no e-cigarettes. And it was very tough to stop. But I stopped it. I made myself a rule. Every time I wanted a cig, I used the same money for the packet. I went and bought apples. And then I just chewed the apples. And then next time when I wanted more cigarette again, as soon as I wanted the tobacco, I chewed the apples. And I found that, the day when I stopped it was easy. It was about 2 weeks after I stopped. When the tobacco really is very effective, but I kept at it, and the apples, you need to do something when you are, otherwise you would smoke. So what I did was I chewed the apple, and it worked for me.
Well, and so your point, John, is that you were able to quit without e-cigarettes. So for people thinking, ah, this is my way to quit, and maybe it's the only way, that is not necessarily true.
Yeah. Chewing apples. Chew apples.
Okay. Apples, good substitute. It certainly sounds a lot healthier than e-cigarettes might be. And what about what John is saying? Do people – is there a danger that people will think that e-cigarettes are their way to quit smoking and then give up if that doesn't work?
Yeah, this is a really key question. And John, all of us here in the studio are nodding, and we salute you for quitting and doing it in such a healthy way. Congrats. The main issue with e-cigarettes and people's beliefs about how they may be helpful in quitting smoking is one of really hot debate among tobacco experts in this country. And right now, unfortunately, even though e-cigarettes hold a lot of promise in theory, we do not have the research studies to go on record and say that these are cessation devices, that they can actually help people quit smoking. We cannot say that right now. There is one trial that is a large trial that was conducted in New Zealand, and it was e-cigarettes versus the nicotine patch, which is a sanctioned way to quit smoking. The nicotine patch does work. And results were pretty dismal for all the groups in the study. And it was a very different population than we have here in the United States. So the bottom line is we do not have the research studies to be able to say e-cigarettes help people quit smoking. We simply do not know that.
And even if they did work, right. what we're getting from this conversation, the takeaway is they're not healthy even if they did work.
Well, here's the way that I talk to patients, and we see about 300 people a day in Montefiore and Presbyterian hospitals specifically to help them quit smoking and manage withdrawal. What we say is it's better to quit. It's better to stop all nicotine products, period. And the best way to do that is a combination of counseling and nicotine patch, gum, lozenge, or the prescription meds that are available. That's the safest and best, most effective way. There are a few people who are resistant to that, or they're just not ready, whatever their reasons are, and they want to use e-cigarettes. What we tell those folks is that puff for puff, the vapor, meaning from an e-cigarette, is safer than the cigarette smoke. Okay? There's no question on that. However, it's only safer for you. E-cigs are only safer for you if you completely stop combustible, meaning burnt tobacco. It is not helpful for you if you use the e-cigarette and continue to smoke. And that is a really key message that I want to make sure everyone hears.
412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's go to Rachel in Pittsburgh with a question, couple questions it looks like. Rachel, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
You bet.
I was just wondering when you were talking about the poison factors in the Poison Control Center earlier, is this equally or more so or less so poisonous to house pets, birds, cats, dogs, whatever? And if there is exposure, would you call the same Poison Control Center, or is there a different place to call?
Dr. Lynch, why don't you take that one?
Sure, a very good question. The answer to the first part of your question is yes, this is still dangerous to all types of animals, and for the same reason it's more dangerous to a human or a child is that it is concentrated. So the same problems will exist with an animal. It'll be easier to access. It won't be as, it won't taste as bad as trying to actually eat up a cigarette. And even for one cigarette versus one container of e-cigarette fluid, you'll get a lot more nicotine with all the associated toxicity. So animals will be at more danger with having this in the house. As for who you can call, absolutely. We do handle about 6,000 calls regarding animals at the Poison Center every year. Many of those calls we can handle. If they do get beyond the specialty of our poison information specialists, we do speak to veterinarians that we have the ability to call. So I think a good first step will be to call the Poison Center. And if we need to escalate care from there, we are certainly more than capable of doing so.
Rachel, thank you for the call. We are talking about e-cigarettes. Are they safe? Our guests, Dr. Hillary Tindall with the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. Also, Dr. Michael Lynch, who is with the Pitt School of Medicine as well and medical director of the Pittsburgh Poison Center. We'll take more of your questions and continue our conversation with our guests here on Essential Pittsburgh. This is 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're continuing our conversation about e-cigarettes and looking at whether they are healthy or at least a healthy alternative to traditional cigarettes that you smoke. Dr. Hillary Tindall with the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine and Dr. Michael Lynch, also with the Pitt School of Medicine, joining us here in studio. 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Lots of people that want to get into the conversation, so we'll quickly go to Keith in Wilkinsburg. Keith, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. I can't see how the e-cigarettes would ever be successful, and the reason is when I quit smoking, there were three factors that I had to take care of. One was I had to be mentally ready, and then two, I had to give up the idea of actually handling a cigarette in the act of smoking. And then three was the addiction. And if I wasn't mentally ready, nothing was going to work, in my opinion, at least what I found. And then once I was mentally ready, as long as I completely stayed away from it, I was fine. But as soon as I gave in even one time, it seemed like that ended it. And then I had to go through the whole mental preparation process all over again.
And you're saying e-cigarettes... That won't stop addiction.
I don't think it will, because you still have the nicotine and you still have the actual actions of smoking. And I've known a few people that have tried to do it, and they're not successful, because what are you giving up, really?
But Dr. Tindall, your thoughts?
I think that's, first of all, Keith, congratulations on quitting. And secondly, I agree, we just don't know. As soon as we have a couple clinical trials with 1,000 or 2,000 people each, and we've actually tested e-cigarettes in these groups of people to see if they help people quit smoking, maybe, like you say, they won't help, maybe they will help. As soon as we have those trials, I will be the happiest physician in Pittsburgh, because we'll have some actual data. But great point.
Are e-cigarettes a greater health hazard, do you think?
Really complex question, but boiling it down, puff for puff, the vapor from an e-cigarette is safer than the smoke from a traditional cigarette. However, there are a couple caveats. One is, if e-cigarettes keep people smoking longer, like the caller Keith suggested, they're not really less of a health hazard. If they keep people smoking traditional cigarettes and doing this dual use where they vape e-cigarettes and smoke traditional cigarettes at the same time, then they're not healthier. Or if they encourage kids to become nicotine addicts, that's not healthier.
Why are we seeing an increase in poisonings caused by e-cigarettes?
I'll punt that to Dr. Lynch after making one comment, and that is that we're seeing a great rise in the awareness and the use of e-cigarettes. So in 2010, 40% of the U.S. adults knew about e-cigs. In 2011, 60% of them knew about e-cigs. And over that same time period, we saw a doubling of use of e-cigarettes by smokers from 10 to 20%. So these e-liquids, which people buy and use to refill their e-cigs, are on the rise. And it may be several million households now that have vials of e-cig liquid lying around.
Dr. Lynch, how many poisonings do you think we may see as more people use e-cigarettes?
I think it's very difficult to predict. We know that last year, more than 1,400 exposures were reported to American Association of Poison Control Centers, which was significantly increased from the year before that. We've already had 650 up until the end of March of this year reported, so on track to have a significant increase again over last year. And that's about what we've seen locally in Pittsburgh. The first report we saw was in 2009 with one. We had 18 last year, and we're up to 7 so far this year. And it will continue to rise, I think, as there's more awareness. We've gone from tens of thousands of units of this stuff sold to millions of it sold. So I think it's just saturating the market much more.
We have a few callers on the line. So in the limited time we have left, we'll just lightning round it, make it as quick as possible so we can try to get to everybody's questions. And we have Grant and Moon with more of a legal question, but we'll see if we can answer it. Hi, Grant. Welcome to Central Pittsburgh.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Yes, sir. I was wondering whether or not it's legal to smoke or use an e-cigarette when you're in a non-smoking restaurant or non-smoking facility.
Yeah, and these are doctors. These are medical people, not legal experts.
Sure.
But what do we know about this, Dr. Tindall?
Well, we know that question is typically up to the establishment. So there are some places that are covered by a ban for where one cannot smoke a traditional cigarette, but they could vape. For example, in UPMC, we're going to be going to a smoke-free shift in July for all our employees. And there, the e-cigarette will not be permitted. So it varies.
Let's go to James. Thank you, Grant, by the way, and Moon. Let's go to James in Pittsburgh. James, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
I just want to say, it just sounds about these e-cigarettes and things almost as though they could be becoming almost what methadone is to heroin for cigarette smokers and treating the addiction. And I guess that my main question was with other methods of smoking cessation, the transdermal patches and things, there are dosages and whatnot that are, you know, verified by clinical trials. How reliable would a concentration of e-vape liquid be, and how would that be regulated in providing it mass market-wise?
Good question, Dr.
Poisoning?
Dr. Lynch.
Yeah, at this point, I think that's one of the main problems is it's not regulated. It could be like any other sort of drug, but right now it does not fall under FDA control, and that has been ruled in federal court. I think the FDA continues to fight that to try to get it under its control, but as of now, it is unregulated, so you do not know the amount of nicotine you're getting with each dose.
And by the way, what are the lethal doses, very quickly, what are the lethal doses of nicotine for adults and children?
For adults and children, it can vary widely based on size as well as how much you've ever used before, but again, with talking about these e-cig fluids, you're talking about 16 or so milligrams per milliliter, and just a few milliliters of that can be lethal to a child.
Let's go to Devin in Lawrenceville. You have 10 seconds, Devin. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to comment that I quit almost a year ago, and I used the e-cigarette with no nicotine, and that I felt that was beneficial. I only used it for about a month.
Okay,
I don't use it any longer. But.
Okay, I'm sorry I didn't have to jump in. We're out of time. Dr. Tindall?
Congrats, Devin. So e-cigs without nicotine were actually part of that trial in New Zealand, but they're still the jury's still out on them.
I want to thank our guests, Dr. Michael Lynch and Dr. Hillary Tindall with the Pitt Medical School. Thank you both for being here to talk about e-cigarettes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We'll see you again tomorrow with another edition of Essential Pittsburgh.